following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
We'll just bow for a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here in our midst. We thank you that you've been speaking to us already this morning. And we just look to you for your voice to our hearts. May each one of us just hear you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. When Pastor Eric asked me to give the message today, he said it will be between Ruth and prayer, because those were the subjects that he was on. We went through the book of Ruth. We're going to go into messages on prayer. So we're going to seek to join that today. I was interested because God has just laid on my heart and hope. And I thought, I wonder if there's hope in Ruth. And I looked through the book of Ruth, and in the translation I looked in, there wasn't one place where it had hope. Not one place. Printed. But last week, in Eric's message, which God blessed to my heart, and I've gone through Ruth many times, been to a retreat recently, we went through Ruth. We had a Ruth in our Bible class, so it wasn't like we didn't know anything about her. But you remember when Naomi came from Moab, she was bitter. She was bitter. And then God started to reveal himself in Ruth happening to go into Boaz's field. And we see right through there God's hand. And I thought, there's the hope. There's hope there for the book of Ruth. And certainly we saw how God worked that out for his glory. Hope, if we take, I love the meaning of words, and the meaning of real hope is confident expectation. Not just saying, oh, I hope so, but confident expectation. You're hoping in God, and he's true to his word. There is a verse in Ephesians 2:12, and it says this. And Paul was speaking to Gentiles. When we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. I just felt I must bring that in. That's a terrible thing, to be without hope. We have had street meetings down in on Granville Street and Gastown, downtown. And I remember one man coming to us. He used to come quite often, actually, to the street meeting. And he came to us one time and he said, I've got no one. My family has disowned me, have no friends except the bottle. And that's what I'm going home to now. Hopeless. We don't know how God dealt with him, but you can be hopeless in this world. But we have hope. And so we're not going to be hopeless. I want to tell you a little story that I've had for quite a long time, and one or two of the details aren't as clear to me now, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. This story happened on the Aegean Sea, and there was a large ship that was being tossed here and there in a terrible storm on the Aegean Sea. Fierce storm, driven, and they knew, because they could get no control of it, they were going to go onto rocks. They had three anchors in that boat, two large ones and one small one. So they threw in an anchor in hopes that somehow they would be able to stabilize the boat. But the first one dragged. The second one dragged. All they had left was this little one they had, they used in kind of safe harbor where they anchored the boat. They threw it. Now, I can't tell you if they had hope. Maybe they had, we hope it'll do it. But the cable tightened, and that little anchor held that boat all night through that storm. And the next day when there was calm, they started to retrieve anchors. When they started to retrieve that little anchor, they had a terrible struggle to get it loose. But finally it came. It was very heavy, but when they got it to the boat, it had hooked on to a huge anchor that was left by a warship. The strength from that huge anchor came into that little anchor and held that boat through the night. And it was such an encouragement to me as I thought we would depend probably on the big anchors, but this little one, we'll call it hope, reached out and got on something greater than themselves. And that's what we do. We need to reach out, grab hold of something that is greater than us. And it turned me to a portion in Hebrews. Are you hearing me all right? It's Hebrews 6, 18, 19, and 20. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, which means can it be made to totter, both sure and steadfast, which means can it be made to break down under strain or stress, sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever. He entered behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, where his Father was, sat down at the side of his Father. I want to remind you that when our dear Savior was on the cross at that third hour when he died and the Passover lamb was being slain, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And that, I can't tell you for sure, but I think it's at least 4 to 7 inches thick. Someone may know exactly how thick it was, but it just wasn't torn by anyone. God opened the way into the Holy of Holies at that time. And we know that when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, he went into the Holy of Holies. And we're going to hear a little bit about that. We sometimes in our Bible study, we say these little ditties. And these are the two I want to give to you. The New, that is the New Testament, is in the Old contained. The Old is in the New explained. The New is in the Old concealed. The Old is in the New revealed. And we want to look at just a couple of things from the Old and into the New. And one is, on the Day of Atonement, and I challenge you all to take your book, God's book, the Bible, look up Leviticus, and read the 16th chapter. It's the Day of Atonement. We're not going into the Day of Atonement right now. It's just touching on it. The high priest, once a year, he had to go in for his own, ask God's forgiveness for his own sin, for the sins of his family, and for the sins of the children of Israel. He went in with the blood of an animal or two. He had the blood of goats and a ram, but you read it so you get all the details. And that's Leviticus 16. He went in and he sprinkled the blood, and you'll find where he sprinkles the blood. But I challenge you, read Leviticus 16. Now we'll go to the New Testament, which is really, that was concealed, can we say? And this is being revealed. In Hebrews 9:12, we read, Jesus, with his own blood, entered into the most holy place. Once for all, these priests had to go in once a year, only once a year. No one dared go in to where the ark was because that was the end of them. That was holy. That was God's dwelling in their earthly tabernacle. And so with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The priests in the Old Testament went in once a year, and also when they died, another priest was put in, either a son or one of God's choice, anyway. So Jesus went in once. He's there today at the right hand of the Father. He's there and he's expecting us to come in because the scripture says that we're to come boldly into the presence of God. And he wants us to do that daily in our prayer time. If you don't have any devotional time, that's most important, that we spend time with the Lord. And we can go into the Holy of Holies and praise God for that. Now we're going to go back to the Old Testament again, to Exodus 17. The children of Israel were doing their favorite thing, it seems, murmuring. They were murmuring. They were very dissatisfied people, forgetting the greatness of God and what God had done for them. But they were against Moses at this time, because if you remember, not so long after they came out of the land of Egypt, they were thirsty, and they cried to Moses and said, "What are you trying to do? Kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And God told Moses, "Take the rod you used at the Red Sea, and I will stand before you on the rock. Smite the rock, water will come out." What a wonderful thing that happened. He smote the rock, and this water came out, and we can think of it as living water. God did this for the children of Israel at that time. And then later in their journeys at Kadesh, we have the same thing happening. They were thirsty, and they didn't have water. And Moses came to God again, and God said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses, in anger, said, "Do we have to draw water for you?" In his anger. And what happened there? He was banned from the promised land. God said, "You'll not go in." And I used to wonder, how come that he's not going in? Couldn't go in. And you know why that was? It's because that rock, and I'll read it from 1 Corinthians 10, 3 to 4. They drank when Moses struck the rock that second time, the water came out. God provided for them, but he said, "You're not going in the promised land." And I have to say, that's strange, isn't it? That God would, what did he do or what didn't he do? They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Have you ever noticed that in 1 Corinthians 10, 4? That rock was Christ. That was a type of the Lord Jesus. And when they struck it the first time, that was the crucifixion. When he struck it the second time, that was striking Jesus twice. Jesus only had to die once for us, and he's in the Holy of Holies representing us there. So, praise God. Jesus is that spiritual rock. And I'd like us to think of the Lord Jesus as in the veil, we, with our little anchor of hope, casting it into the veil, into behind the veil, and hooking up, joining up with that solid rock there in the Holy of Holies. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can reach in there and know him and love him, talk to him. He loves to talk to us. He says, "Come unto me," because the only way we can talk to our Heavenly Father is through Jesus, because we can only come in his name. And when we start on our prayer, our sermons on prayer, let's get the most out of them, and let's make sure it's a practice in our lives. In Hebrews 7:15, we read, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That's what happened. He's gone into the Holy of Holies. He ever lives to make intercession for us. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. I want to ask you, are you without hope? Are you without hope? Are you without God? Let me tell you, you can go out this door without hope, but you can also go out with hope. Hope in an eternal intercessor that we have in the Holy of Holies. And if you want, just remember, if you want to have that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, stay behind. There are people that will pray for you. And down in the prayer room, there are people going to be down there after the service. Have you cast your anchor? Is your life solid in the Lord? Have you been willing to let him have his perfect way and will in your life? It's the best way to go, after all. And I praise God that each one of us can know him and press on to know him better. May God bless each one of you and help us all to be faithful to him, to spend time in the Holy of Holies. It's open to us. It's open to us. Let's make sure it's real in our lives. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.